This is the Relevant Life Church podcast, where we are about connecting with God, relating to people, and reaching our world. Tune in as our church goes through this week's teaching in God's Word.
Today, as we step into the passage of Scripture, the goal or the lesson that we want to learn today, the lesson we want to talk about is this. The goal for your life is to be a fully devoted follower of Christ, one who's rooted, one who's growing, and one who's stable in Him. One who's rooted, one who's growing, and one who is stable in Him. As I say those three words today, I think that probably all of us can have different mind pictures of what those words would say. But I want to walk through this process this morning with those three words, those three phrases. Colossians chapter 2, if you want to turn there with me, Colossians 2, verses 6 through 8. Paul writes, he says, "So then, just as you received Christ Jesus." Everybody say received. Just as you have received Christ Jesus, just as you have come into the understanding that Christ is the Savior, that He died for you, just as you have accepted that and received Him as your Lord and Savior, as you received Him, just as you have received Christ Jesus, this momentary act in your life, he says, continue to live your lives in Him. Everybody say continue. You say, how do we continue? Is this just a one-time decision? No, it's a daily, continual decision to live your life in Him. Walking it out day in and day out, moment by moment. It says that you would be rooted and that you would be built up in Him, established in the faith as you were taught and overflowing with thankfulness. He says, see to it that no one will take you, that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the elemental spiritual forces of this world rather than on Christ. Paul's writing to this church. He's writing to us today, and he's speaking to us about something that is so vital and so important. He's causing us to realize that we need to be on guard, that we need to be aware that there is a hollow philosophy, that there is deception that is round about us. I will say this, the warning at the end of this passage of Scripture we're going to start off with today, the warning that is there, as long as you and I are alive and living on planet Earth, there is going to be a deceiver of your soul. There's going to be people that are going to believe differently than you and me. There are people that are going to get up with their philosophies and their ideas and their hollow darkness of deception and try to pass it on as truth. Is it evident today in our culture? It is, whether it comes to biblical truth or whether it comes to ideas of mass or no mass or government or whatever it is, there's all of the philosophy that is out there. Paul comes and he says, the way that you prevent that, the way that you keep yourself safe is that you know that you're rooted in God, you're built up in God, and you're being established in your faith, that you're growing. It's not just a moment, it's not just a one-time thing. Paul says that you will not be taken captive. This idea, this wording is actually war wording. Like there is a war that's waging. We've been talking about that for our lives. Is it not true that Paul speaks a lot of that? There is an enemy of your soul. He says that you will not be taken captive, that you will not be led astray. This idea is to not be carried off as spoil, to not be kidnapped. Paul's not talking about academic discipline of philosophy. Anybody ever take a philosophy class? Paul's not talking about an academic class of philosophy. He's talking about a world mindset. I guarantee that probably today, if we were to take a test based on worldview, out of the people that are present and out of the people that are watching online, we would have a worldview, a cultural worldview, and a biblical worldview. I would say that probably 70 to 80% of our church, of Christians today, would fall on the world side of worldview rather than the biblical side of worldview. When we talk about a worldview, when we talk about this idea of not being taken captive, not be carried away as spoil, that we do not allow the deceptiveness of our culture to convince us something different than what the Word of God states. That we don't come back and go, well, no, that meant that then, that doesn't mean that now. No, the Word of God is truth. Either it is true or it's not true. And I can tell you today that it is called an absolute truth. It's not a subjective truth. And it's the crisis that we have in our culture today. And so Paul's speaking to this aspect the way to, so that you do not get deceived, so that you do not become a spoil of our culture, so that you do not get led astray. Three things have to take place, and you have to be doing them on a regular basis, daily living out your life. Number one is that we need to grow deep. We must grow deep. Everybody say, grow deep. Paul uses the phrase being rooted in Christ, recognizing that Christ is the foundation of our life. The outcome of your life, the outcome of my life, is determined by our root system. The outcome of your life and my life is determined, the fruit of our lives is determined by the roots that we plant, and where are we planted, where are we rooted. This idea of growing deep, Ezekiel chapter 31 is a passage of scripture, and Ezekiel's writing about this tree, and he says, "So it was beautiful in its greatness, in the length of its branches, for its roots extended to the abundant waters." I don't know about you, I don't go around admiring root systems. We don't have clear pots that we walk around going, "Oh, that's a healthy root system. Man, isn't that root system so amazing?" No, we go around looking at the trees, we look at the produce, we look at the flowers and go, "That is an amazing plant." Can I tell you that that plant, healthiness and beauty is from, as a result of the root system that you have? So when we talk, when Ezekiel's writing here, he's going, the evidence above ground, the evidence of this tree that is beautiful, the branches that are admired, are not just a result of the above ground part, it's the root system. It's where is it going? And I ask you today, are you looking at your life and are you able to step back and go, "No, I admire that in my life"? We oftentimes don't take time to look at other people's root systems. That's why we are easily deceived. That's why we're easily led astray, because we can see the appearance of the tree and go, "It looks right." How many know that there are times that a tree can look good, but it can still produce bad fruit? It can produce fruit that's deadly to you. This idea of rooted is finding the source of strength. When you look at the Greek here, it is this word rooted is rooted in strength. Rooted in strength. And I ask you today, where are you rooted? Are you rooted in strength? We can see the Webster's definition. It says, the underground part of the plant body. It functions as an organ of absorption, aeration, and food storage, or as a means of anchorage and support. When we look at this idea, this definition from the Webster's Dictionary, we can come back and go, "No, my root system is absorbing that where I'm planted. My root system is aerating for further root growth. It's where the food is stored, is in my root system." Why are plants wilting? Why are you wilting? Have you been feeding yourself the right things? Where are you rooted? When we see some really cool trees up here of root systems, we don't see the depth of them, but man, you can look at these trees and go, "That's impressive." We can step back and go, "That's an impressive root." We look at that and go, "That's an impressive tree." I want to do a biology lesson here. We'll see three pictures. We have two styles of root systems. Every plant comes from two different styles. One is the taproot, which you're going to most likely see in a tree that's going to plant deep and it's going to go down deep into the bedrock soil that's going to last and live a long time. Then you see the fibrous root, which you're going to see probably in your geraniums and your flowers. There's not a taproot that goes down that really is sustaining. The idea of a taproot is that it goes down deep into a soil that's going to be called, bring security and stability. A healthy root system, when we think of trees, the average tree today has a 20-foot deep root system. Well, that's pretty impressive. But a healthy tree can grow up to 174 feet in a root system. So you begin to think about this idea of going, am I a shallow-rooted tree or am I a deep-rooted tree? If you drive between Portland and Seaside, as you're driving through the woods, the forest part of Oregon, you're going to see big, huge, uprooted trees that are laying on their side. How many have ever seen those big, huge, massive roots? probably 20 feet from side to side, but you'll look at those, and on average, they're probably only like 6 to 10 feet in depth. The reason is that tree has hit a place of where it's not going to grow any further. The soil has not been aerated, and it hit bedrock, and therefore that tree spread out with its roots. It did not go down deep with its roots. When we begin to look at our lives and the windstorms come in on the coast as well as the windstorms in our life, can I tell you that the trees are easily toppled when they don't have a deep root system? When they have a broad root system, which many of us have broad root systems in our culture today, we believe all these thoughts and all these ideas rather than growing down into what God has called us to, the Word of God, and holding to the truth, we allow that all things become true. We get tainted. We get interrupted in our idea of what our roots will look like and what our roots hang on to. Deep roots sustain us through droughts. They steady us through trials, and they nourish us to thrive in life. When we look at this last chaos of the last 5 months, when we look at the storm that we're in the middle of COVID, I want to ask you personally, as you begin to look at your life, where has your roots been planted? Have you noticed that your plant, the part above the soil, has been vibrant and thriving? Or has it been wilted and hindered? I can tell you in transparency, there's been moments in my life where my root system, I've felt the tug of the culture pulling on me. I've not been uprooted. It hasn't pulled me out. I still know God is victorious. But can I tell you the cultural tension? Anybody feel that tension just pulling on you? I'm grounded. I'm rooted. I know who I believe in. But our culture is presenting a lot of philosophies, a lot of ideas that if we have a deep root system, they sustain us in the dry periods, they steady us in the trials, and they nourish us so that we thrive. I can tell you my confession from the very beginning is that I'm going to be better at the end than I began. Is that your confession? Are you coming to go, no, I'm going to thrive. I will end thriving. Our church, Relevant Life Church, will be a better church when this is done. Christians will be stronger when this is done. God, we surrender to you. We will make this. You say, well, Pastor Kevin, how do you know? Because I can tell you this. The Church of Jesus Christ has suffered far greater than this. This is minor in comparison. I don't want to make light of the trials that we're in, but can I tell you, this is minor. We're not facing lions that are going to attack us. We're not being thrown in prison. You and I are not being beaten for loving Jesus today. If you realize that you cannot live the Christian life apart from Christ, you cannot live. You cannot go about walking in Christ. You can't come to Christ without the Holy Spirit drawing you. That we must grow deep in Him. Number two, that we grow up. Everybody say, grow up. Grow up. Do you ever hear, have you ever said that to someone? Would you just grow up? Turn to your neighbor, would you say, would you just grow up? Do you ever hear that from the Holy Spirit to you? I can tell you there's been moments in my life over the last 5 months, and I hear God that way. God always gets after me, and He kind of snaps His fingers, and I have to jump to attention, and I can either choose to or not to. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I read the Word of God, and it's going, Kevin, would you just grow up? Kevin, would you get over yourself? Anybody else out there? Would you just grow up? Can I tell you today that God, through the Apostle Paul, is coming and saying, would you just grow up? Would you be built up in Christ? Would you stop being a baby, and would you become mature? Would you stop licking your wounds, and would you just step up and be a mature individual in the process? This idea of built up is to continued growth in Christ Jesus. The continued, this process that He who began a work will bring it to completion. That process, this chasm in between of beginning and ending, of going, God, I don't like the middle ground sometimes. I want the destination. And God goes, no, the destination is where you're at right now. I want you to gain this. I want you to learn this. I want you to grasp this. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, he says, for we are God's fellow workers. We're partners with Him. We're a field that He plants in. And then he goes on, he says, but you are also God's building. Can I tell you that God is building you into something? That you are His, you are what He occupies? And God says, I want you to grow up. I want you to be able to carry the weight of who I am in you. Being built up in him implies that all believers are still under construction. Don't you think we should walk around going, I think it's Franny that says, be patient with me. God isn't finished with me yet. We all need to have a sign that says, I'm under construction. Even more so in the middle of COVID, I'm under construction. How many have noticed, by the way, that are you thankful that they're doing a lot of road construction during COVID? I mean, we're less out on the roads and they're doing more work out there. I think that's a good idea. Maybe we needed to take a COVID break every year. Just kidding. Just kidding. I'm going to get hate mail as a result of that. So just, God's called us to become a holy people. God's called us to be built up, to grow up in him, to not just grow deep, but to grow up, to grow deep, but to grow up. God says the root system is important, but I also want it to be evident above the ground. I want people to be able to look at your life and see that there's something that's taking place. This idea of maturity, of growing up, is sometimes very difficult. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13, he says, when I was a child, I spoke and I thought and I reasoned as a child. Anybody have children in your life that think and speak and reason as a child? We have our 3-year-old granddaughter, and she comes over and she thinks and reasons and speaks as a child. She's pretty smart and she's pretty eloquent with her words, but sometimes her reasoning, I'm like going, okay. Paul is coming and going, no, I one time in my life, physically and spiritually, I thought and I reasoned and I spoke as a child. But then he comes and he says a very declarative statement. But when I grew up, I put away childish things. I want to tell you today, as followers of Christ, it's time for us to grow up, and it's time for us to put away childish things. It's time for us to put away childish behaviors. It's time for us to step back and go, reality check, it's not about me, it's about the kingdom of God. Amen. Reality check, it's not about whether I wear a mask or not, it's about the kingdom of God. Amen. Putting away childish behavior. Oftentimes, excuse me, we make maturity more complicated than necessary. Oftentimes in our fleshliness, we try to make maturity about something that we strive for, trying to accomplish maturity rather than allowing God to do something in us. Can I tell you today that maturity is if you're planted in the right place and you're sucking in the right nutrients and the right food items, you're going to grow to a place of maturity. It's just how we are planted. It's how we are designed. My dad used to say, if you want to catch fish, go where the fish are. Pretty profound, right? I'm going to make it really simple. If you want to catch Jesus, go where Jesus is. You want more of Jesus in your life? Can I tell you, I guarantee that probably all of you know where to find him. Cracking open your Bible and beginning to read and just suck in the nourishment, allowing him to speak to you. You know, if you're trying to make friends with somebody and get to know somebody, you're going to call them on the phone and you're going to check in on them and you're going to send them a text and you're going to go out to coffee with them and you're going to do whatever it is. Can I tell you, if you want to know Jesus, Jesus is the same way. You just spend time with him. You call him up through prayer and you get down on your knees before him and you open the word of God to him before him and you say, God, would you speak to me? You listen to sermons, you listen to podcasts, you read books that are going to fill you, that are going to stretch you to maturity. I've learned this in my life, that God's always present, but he's never pushy. There's times that I feel the distance of God, and God's going, Gavin, I haven't moved. You have. Anybody ever experienced that in your own life? Kevin, I haven't moved. God hasn't moved. God's still present. He's present, but he's not going to push himself into your life. He's going, I'm here. He's going to bring conviction. Number three, not only do we grow deep or do we grow up, but we also grow strong. Everybody say, grow strong. Paul uses this word to be established in Christ. To be established in Christ. This word established is to form an inner strength of firmness, not a stubbornness or a bitterness. I want to challenge you today, because so many times we're in our culture today, we're seeing a lot of people that are going, it's my right, and I'm stubborn, and it's my conviction. Paul's not talking about a human stubbornness. Paul's not talking about a human right. Paul is talking about an inner strength of conviction that comes from the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. A firmness that holds us to the Word of God. Not to what your right is or what you feel is right, not to what the government might say or not to what a group of people might be picketing about, but coming back to the Word of God to go, no, this is my conviction, and this is what's going to guide my life. Goes on in the definition is having a character and stability. I love that word stability. We're going to look a little more at that in a minute, but flourishing. Everybody say flourishing. When you look at your life, can you say that, no, my life is flourishing? When you look at your life and go, am I flourishing? Is things coming out of my life that are positive things? Successful over a period of time. And I like the last part of this definition. It says, officially recognized and accepted and followed by others. When we're established, in our faith system, when we're established in our root system, when we're established, people can look at us and go, no, that's a life to follow. That's someone that I want to look at. David says in Psalms 119, he says, oh, that my ways may be established to obey your decrees. David, the man after God's own heart, this man that was passionate about God, said, God, may my ways, may who I am be established in you. May your decrees, may your laws, may these things, these instructions, may they guide every decision. David's coming and going, God, I want a biblical worldview. I want my life to pattern after you. This word stable that we used a little bit above is one who is firmly fixed. One who's not easily overturned. When you look at your life, I want to ask you, are you firmly fixed? Are you stable in Him? Your faith system? Today, as I speak to those online and those here, my heart is heavy as a pastor. When I realize that we can have a capacity of 170 on a Sunday and we're not reaching that 170. When we were strong, 400 to 600 people before COVID, and now today we're much lower in who we're reaching. Can I tell you, that concerns me as a pastor, because I come back and go, they were rooted, but have they been uprooted? They were rooted and growing, but now the tactics of the enemy, the philosophy has come in and has brought death to their life. My concern is that we as Christians need to be established, that nothing's going to move us, that God is going to win, that we are victorious. Amen? If someone were to ask you today, are you established in your faith, what would you say? How would you know if you were established or not? I think being spiritually established is being aware of God's presence on a daily basis. I think being established in God's presence and established in your faith is walking in a posture of humility. Not of pride, but of humility, of saying, God, I'm established in you, so regardless of what takes place around me, I'm humbling myself before you. God, you're in control of my life. Established in your faith is one of surrender, not of violence, but of going, God, I surrender to you. You're in control of my life. I think sometimes being established in your faith is a silence. And what I sense in my spirit for me and even for our church is that silence of going, being still and knowing that God is in control. In the middle of chaos, what's our normal response? Do you get a little bit frantic? What's the next decision? I'm going to tell you, in honesty, yesterday there was a little bit of frantic stuff as information's coming through, and I'm going, oh God, what do we do? How do we do this? And I sense the Spirit of God saying, Kevin, be still, I've got this. Be still, I've got this. I'm in control of this. I have to remind myself regularly that this is not a surprise to God. that at the beginning of creation, God knew in 2020 who would be alive and what we would be going through. He knew that there would be this disease called COVID that would come in and it would stir creation. And God's going, be still. I got this. When you're established, your responses are biblical, thoughtful, and calculated. I want to caution you today, all that are hearing my voice. When we are established in our faith, our ideas, our responses are first of all biblical. Before you blab your mouth, Kevin, before you type your comment, Kevin, is it biblical? Everybody say, is it biblical? Can I tell you, we need to come back and go, is it biblical? Is it biblical? Is this a biblical mountain to die on? Some of the things that we're fighting over today in our culture, they're not even biblical. They're not even right and wrong. They're just someone's opinion. Is it biblical? Be thoughtful. Be calculated. Don't be worldly. Don't get caught up in emotion. Don't get caught up being uncontrolled. Don't bear up under something that you don't have to wear. Put on Christ. If you're like me, you say, that sounds so nice, but how do I do it? Anybody struggle in doing it? How do I do it? How did Jesus do it? Can I tell you, Jesus was man just like you and I are man. He was human. And how did Jesus do it? He did it day by day. He didn't go month by month. He did it moment by moment, day by day. It says daily Jesus got away from all of the chaos. Jesus got away from all of the darkness and the void and the world's philosophy. And he got along with Jesus, or got along with his Father, and God spoke life to him. How do we do it? Day by day. We silence ourselves. We purposefully step into spiritual disciplines. That's the fleshly part of us. That's the part that we come in with ourself and go, no, I'm planted in the right place and I'm nurturing myself with the right things, but I have to use spiritual disciplines to establish myself and to grow. Those spiritual disciplines of praying and reading the Word of God and going to church or listening to church online, listening to a podcast, taking in the Word of God, allowing ourselves to be built up and to grow and to be strong. As I finish today, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul writes to the church in Corinth. He says, therefore, in the midst of all these circumstances that are taking place, he says, therefore, be steadfast. Everybody say steadfast. This idea of steadfast is an underappreciated word. I want to ask you today, do you have people in your life that are just steady in your life? They're constant. They stay faithful. They love you in spite of. Do you know what I'm talking about? People that are just steady in your life. Paul is coming and says, I want you as a church to be steadfast. Would you not be reactive? Would you not get caught up in emotion? Just be steadfast, knowing. It says, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of God. Someone who's rooted right, someone who's growing up right, someone who's established is going to have these traits of being steadfast, immovable. And they're not going to just sit back. They're going to be abounding in the work of Christ. What does that work look like? You're surrendering and growing. That work looks like there's a world out there that's dying and going to hell without Jesus. Can I tell you, the mission of God has never changed in the middle of COVID? It's actually caused it to shine a little bit brighter. People need Jesus. How many know that? Do you know anybody that needs Jesus? How many need Jesus today? You need Jesus. I need Jesus. So we're abounding in the work of God. We're reaching the world, but also we're abounding in the work of God in the church. Can I tell you that your body needs you? When's the last time you checked on somebody? When's the last time you thought of 5 months ago going, man, I miss that person. I don't even know what's going on in their life. And you pick up the phone and you dial and schedule a distance coffee meeting with them. Whatever it might be. As we close today, I want to challenge you. I want to ask you this question. How deeply are you rooted? How deeply are you rooted? What's your soil look like? Does it have all the right nutrients? How deeply are you rooted? Where are you rooted? Are you rooted in the culture? Are you rooted in the decisions and all the things that are taking place in our government? Are you rooted in Christ Jesus? And I ask you, how are you being built up? How are you being built up? Where are you growing in maturity? Where do you need to say no to childish things and say yes to being a mature spiritual adult? And then the last one is, how are you being established? What are you doing? What are the practices in your life that you are being established in your faith? Being established in who you are. Today you may believe in Jesus and you're in this process. Maybe you've been stalled at a stage. And I want to challenge you to step to the next one. I want to challenge you to step deeper into Christ. Maybe you're today here today and you don't know Jesus. Maybe you're listening online and you don't know Jesus. Maybe you've not been rooted in the right thing. Today, we want to root you in the right place and we want to usher you into that relationship with Jesus Christ. If that's you here or online, we want to ask you just to pray with us. Heavenly Father, would you forgive me of my sins? I recognize that my root system has been in the wrong place. God, I choose to be rooted in you. God, as we have received you into our lives, may we be planted deep into you. Jesus, would you shape our lives? Holy Spirit, would you help me to live a life that's pleasing unto you? God, I thank you for salvation today. I thank you for the beginning. And God, help me to live it out tomorrow and the next day in Jesus' name. God, for all those that are believers that are listening today, God, those that are stalled in the process, those that have been shaken by circumstances. And God, we realize that circumstances are always there. God, there's always a stirring. There's always something in our culture that can get to us. But God, today we determine that we're going to be rooted in you. God, I will plant my roots into the truth of Jesus Christ. God, today I pray more than just our root system. God, would you help us to be built up into you? Help us to mature. God, help us to put away childish behavior and childish things. Help us to become more Christ-like. And God, today, in the middle of this pull and the swirl of life, help us to be established where people can look to us as something that is foundational and sturdy. God, help us to be steadfast and immovable. Help us to abound in the work of Christ Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Would you stand to your feet this morning? We're going to sing, I Will Build My Life. Would you make this your declaration? Make this your prayer this morning, that I'm going to build my life on Christ Jesus.
Here at Relevant Life Church, it's our mission to see people connect with God, relate to one another, and reach our world. This single statement drives everything we do as a church. Our hope is that today you were encouraged in this. Thank you for joining us and have a blessed day.